A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I know that good does not dwell in me, that is, in my flesh. The willing is ready at hand, but doing the good is not. For I do not do the good that I want, but I do the evil I do not want. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So then I discover the principle that when I want to do right, evil is at hand. For I take delight in the law of God in my inner self, but I see in my members a principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Miserable one that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, teach me your statutes.
Lord,
teach me your statutes. Teach me wisdom and knowledge, for in your commands I trust. Lord, teach me your statutes. You are good and bountiful. Teach me your statutes.
Lord,
teach me your statutes. Let your kindness comfort me according to your promise to your servants.
Lord,
teach me your statutes. Let your compassion come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight.
Lord,
teach me your statutes. Never will I forget your precepts, for through them you give me life.
Lord,
teach me your statutes. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts.
Lord,
teach me your statutes. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom.
Alleluia.
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 The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you. Jesus said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately that it is going to rain, and so it does. And when you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say that it is going to be hot, and so it is. You hypocrites, why you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? If you are to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the constable, and the constable throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Peace be with you.
We have I have a saying, sometimes when I notice people are distracted, not any of you, of course, but with our children's a choir one time, some of them are humans, or they all are humans, and sometimes they don't pay attention. And so we said, stop the hocus pocus and focus. We all get distracted in life by fireworks, things in the world, and we forget our focus should be Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as St. Paul says in Galatians 6, Christ crucified and risen. He should be our focus, our goal. On behalf of Monsignor Rolfe, who's our celebrant today, also Father Brian Belay from Alexandria Diocese, Arlington Diocese, and Father Paul Millay, who's a Baltimore priest still and studying for the Salpetrians, we greet you. And also Len and Bonnie Didier to this altar where Deacon Darren and then Father Darren preached and said Mass here this past spring. We greet you in the Lord. And long story short, let's focus on Christ as our gospel, St. Luke 12, encourages us to do. We all need focus, and I know Darren / Deacon Darren / Father Darren, your son, was focused. When we had lunch one time in that luxurious shed up there, we were having beans and refried sandwiches and stuff, microwavable things, and I asked him, got the courage, hey, are you concerned? What's going on with your future? And he said, well, if I go on, I pray that God helps me to become a priest, and that'll be great. He'll help me to save souls. If I don't make it that far, hopefully from heaven, I'll help people. Either way, it's a win-win situation. A lot of times, because of the distractions, the hocus-pocus, brain, what we just ate, fingernail bites, we break our legs, people get sick, others receive bigger sicknesses. But to the saints, in the saintly consciousness, none of the hocus-pocus in life stop the Christ-like focus. In that conversation, that man, that guy, that priest, your son, our brother, son of the Mount, son of Mary, he had that Christly focus. And that's why we have so many people here, our priests and others, to greet you and welcome you back to Mary's mountain. I was thinking we all need that focus in our lives. Father Paul, I once saw him in a concert at St. Ignatius Church in Baltimore, and that's as beautiful as the music was. I think he played Beethoven that night. And unless you're focused, you're not going to move along in playing beautiful music to the Lord. And he wouldn't have unless he knew every note and then integrated it and it became one with him and it flowed out into the beautiful music we heard that night a couple years ago. We all get distracted. But nothing will stop the focus of the disciples of our Lord, whether he calls us to preach from the altar, play joyful noises unto the Lord, be married, or be single. What's our focus? Christ crucified and risen. In the first reading from that famous chapter 7, Romans, St. Paul talks about the sin that's in, and a lot of times we forget that sin is a bondage, and that there's addictions and the spiritual words, attachments to sin-like actions. And it can become, you know, in the mind and biochemical, metaphysical, because our souls get involved. And so that's why we need to receive the body and blood of Jesus to take him in and to chase out that sin, that nature that is within us all. So let's try to exchange, as St. Paul indicates here in that famous passage in Galatians, our I, ego, for Christ. As he says in Galatians 2, it is I no longer that lives, but Christ within me. And Father Darren did that. I'm sure he got afraid here and there. But the more he knew and realized that Christ's kingdom love, awareness, and consciousness, that took over his own fears. For 1 John says, right? Perfect love casts out fear. So let's worship here our Lord who gives us that potential. If, like Father Darren, if, like Our Lady, we keep saying, fiat, yes. The other day we had a tour here in the grotto, and we had some children, and this gospel this weekend can be summarized up in four words, and getting to heaven, right? Or holiness. Love God, love neighbor. It's that simple and that hard. I asked the kids up there, not giving that answer yet, I said, what's four words that can get you to heaven? And one child thought creatively, one, holy, Catholic, apostolic. Caught me off guard. Then a lady up there said, a mom, she said, thy will be done. When we pray the litany of holy love to God, that's in the chapel up there, one of the best prayers ever made. In sickness and in health, I love thee, O my God. In poverty and in riches, I love thee, O my God. In sorrows and in joy, I love thee, O my God. There's the focus. Just last night, you said, Len, that the chalice that Father Darren used, the Bishop Aquila asked for, Father Darren's bishop, and that's an honor. So let's ask Our Lady to help us to be chalices. Chase out the sin, embrace Him, our Lord and our Savior. And I think you said something like, well, as freely as we gave Darren to the world and to the priesthood, Bishop, we give this chalice to you. Let's give our bodies, our souls freely to the Lord to fill us up with His divinity. And like Our Lady, let's magnify Him within. As we chase out and snarl and fight against sin and love, adore, and extend Him as Father Darren did. Peace be with you.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. You know, I always thought that was so great to be a priest, to be able to do that, because in a few words you get to bless many people, but you get many more blessings back, and believe me, that has been very appropriate the last 6 weeks. It is indeed, and I pass that on, your blessings on to Bonnie. It is very appropriate that we come here to Mary's Mount, Bonnie and I, because it was here that Darren came into an intimate relationship with our Lord and His Blessed Mother. And after he was ordained, it was here that he came for his honeymoon. He came back to the Mount. And I just wanted to thank all of you for your love and prayers and the way you nurture his love for his church and his Lord. I've got to tell you, though, I hear all these wonderful stories from you people from wherever he went, but he hasn't stopped working. After his death, his mother was raised Lutheran, an only child, very, very religious family. And when she became Catholic, confession was hard for her. She made her first confession. And actually, some 7 years after we were married, she became Catholic. She made her first confession. And then some maybe 8 years later, but it had been like 28, 29 years since she had gone to confession, and Father Darren had always been prompting her, I know, Ma, you really don't need it, but you need the grace. So after he died, Bonnie and I were talking, and we said, well, you know, we're sending our son off to be with the Lord. Shouldn't we be as pure as we can when we do that? So we went to confession together. So that was Darren at work already. The Monday after he was buried, we were writing out hundreds of thank you cards. I mean, we got a box that square and that high full of cards with stories and stuff. And late in the afternoon, I had had enough. They had taken a break earlier, but I'm one of these guys, I want to keep at it till I get it done, but even I couldn't keep at it to get it done. So I was going to go into town and have coffee, but I had said that if I was near the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, near the 3 o'clock hour when he died, that I would go. So I get there, and there's four pews about 4 feet long on either side. It's a small chapel. And there's this man in there. And when he gets up to leave, the Spirit must have prompted me, because it wasn't me talking. I got up and I said to him, "What brings you here?" And he kind of looked at me and he said, "Well," he said, "I'm a recent convert to the faith." He said, "And earlier this summer, I found out I had terminal lung cancer." Then he goes on to say, "We still don't know each other. This weekend," which was the weekend that we had put Father Darren to rest, "he had been up in Cooperstown, North Dakota, and I'm brain dead. I should have known it was Father Finial." And he said, "I got to talk to this priest and was telling him about my recent conversion and of my terminal lung cancer." And he said, he started to tell me of the story of this beautiful young priest, Father Darren Didier. So now this guy starts telling me the story of my son is told to him by Father Finial. And he's crying, and of course I'm crying, and finally I had enough. I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, "Well, that's my son you're talking about." And we both cried. Then later I gave him one of Darren's mass cards with his picture from his funeral. He said, "That is the young man that was in the chapel. That was the young man who brought him here." He said initially, and I forgot this, but he said, "I came to the chapel," he said, "there was this young man so in prayer that I felt I should talk to him, but he was so in prayer and so illuminated I didn't disturb him." That was his answer to what brought him here. And, of course, that was my son. A funny story now. Some of you priests might not appreciate this because of the innuendo. But even when Darren was a physical therapist and earning pretty good money, when Mom and I would take him out to eat, he always managed not to reach for his wallet. It was something Mom and I could do. Uh-huh. And so I told him, "Well, Darren, you'll make a good priest. You're good at sitting on your wallet." So no offense. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, Saturday, we were up in Fargo to thank the people of Holy Spirit Church up there where he was served as the vicar. Or the assistant. And we took out Father Wald, the pastor, and the nurse, Renee, and her husband, who had taken care of him the last few days. And we went out to this nice Italian place, and we had conversation. The waiter kept coming, "You know, you want to order? You're going to sit here taking up my space all night." Finally, we ordered and had a nice meal and visited some more about 3 hours. And when the bill came, you got to visualize this. I'm sitting down, I reach for the bill like this, I reach back here for my wallet, I'm sitting down and I go, "Oh, oh." Well, Father Walt got money out already, Walt's got money out already, but you know what happened just before we left? Father Walt had gone into the top drawer of Darren's dresser, a little narrow sock drawer, and reached in there to make sure we had gotten everything, and he came out with a stack of $5 bills. And when he gave them to me just before we left, they were too thick, so I didn't bother to put them in my wallet. I would realize my wallet was going, I put them in my front pocket. So I reach for the bill, I reach for my wallet, it's not there. I go, "Oh my goodness. Ah, Father Darren finally paid. $95 covered the whole thing." So that, you know, at first people were telling me that my son was a saint. And it kind of made me feel uncomfortable. But then I got thinking about it. Why not? We're all called to be saints. So I just want to thank you all for all your blessings upon us and our family and Darren. And like the nuns in South Dakota said, we started praying for him. We've talked to so many people, now we're praying to him. So however you do it, keep it up. Thank you. God bless.
We'll see in a few minutes. I'm going to stay here, right?